We have here a very short talk I'm going to give you, which is not scheduled, in which I would like to give you some of the processes you can use on a very, very rough case, some variations on what I've been talking to you about. And what the difficulty is with some of the cases you're trying to handle. Why these cases do not move rapidly, why these cases do not accept advanced processes. And it is very, very interesting to note, as I gave you in the last hour, that as simple as these processes are, and as far as they will go, you'll get many people who will not accept the simplicity of process. They know the mind is more complicated than this. They have such a terrific certainty on this. But to shake them off this certainty is as much as your life is worth. Such an impasse, by the way, was reached the moment I departed from running an engram. That's right. Sad as it might be, the second engrams were no longer there to be chewed up as energy. I had started to have trouble. People started to pack up their bags and move across the state line. And it got worse and worse as I advanced deeper and deeper into causation. Causation instead of the reason why. Get the difference? Many people have these two things confused. They think causation is the reason why. Oh, no, it's not. Causation is the motivation of action or the motivation of beingness. Causation is motivation. The Greek has already defined it when he said the universe started with the prime mover unmoved. He said the biggest kind of cause in terms of past that really could be said. But most everyone gets interested in cause as past. They think cause is something in the past and cause is not in the past. And the second you come up against somebody who believes implicitly that all cause is the reason why, you have somebody whose cause is in the past. Very, very hard to break that loose unless your techniques are good enough to break through the case. And so your technique's got to be good enough to break the case in order to break the computation, because that is the computation, which is the aberrative computation. That's what you're worried about in trying to break. The fellow thinks the cause is in the past. Now, actually, the cause is in the future. You needn't blink when I tell you that. But let me show you. Down there is a water glass. All right. I'm going to pick up a water glass with a little Coke in it, show you that I'm not too mad at the Coca-Cola company. The only reason I'm mad at the Coca-Cola company is they put up signs in Europe and then sell no Coca-Cola. I'm going to pick up that Coca-Cola glass and take a sip of it. Now, you'll notice something here very, very much. What is the cause of that drink? Well, I said I was going to take a drink. And then I took a drink. Cause was in the future of taking a drink. Cause was in the future of the action. infinitely simple, isn't it? Cause is always in the future of the action, not in the past of the action. The prime difference between Scientology and psychology is that psychology subscribes to the theory that cause is always in the past. The difference between your processing and Freudian processing is that Freud subscribes utterly and entirely to the idea that cause is always in the past. Your behavior now is motivated by what happened to you before. Well, you can vary your behavior now by varying, by Dianetic processing, not by psychoanalysis. Dianetic processing varies what happened before simply by eradicating its impulsive moments in the future. That piece of energy, in other words, floats up here in present time, and then it says, do something. So a fellow then does something, so that is compulsive cause, which is still in the future of the action. You should see that very clearly. Well, it's just that engram floating out of place. Why does it float out of place? Because of energy and space starvation in present time. And then that it says to do something is not anywhere near as harmful as starving to death for space and energy. So it says to do something. So it's painful. So it's aberrating. The fellow says, so what? I've got to have that energy. And there sits the energy. All right, the energy says, jump out the window. And it is in the present. It isn't a piece of the past. It's just a piece of energy. Well, that is compulsive, reactive causation. Now, let's look at sane causation. I said I would take a drink of water, Coca-Cola, and took a drink of Coca-Cola. So my statement that I was going to take a drink of Coca-Cola preceded that. Now, it looks like the second you start to take the drink, the cause was in the past. You see how that would look? As you take the drink, you say, well, I'm taking a drink because I decided to take a drink there in the past, so therefore cause is in the past. Cause for the drink is in the past. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're taking the drink. The cause, all right, that was postulated first has now drifted into past tense. So after the fact, the cause can be said to be in the past. And so you get people who are incapable of action drifting into the past. This is not very hard to assimilate. He has to consider that the reason he is taking a drink is because he said so at some time in the past. He doesn't have to have any reason to take the drink. It didn't matter. So on a very sane person, his postulate evaporates immediately with the action and isn't in the past anymore at all. You'd say, well, what happened to memory? Then you wouldn't remember what you said, and if you couldn't remember what you said, why, then you'd be crazy. Oh, no, you wouldn't. You'd be very sane. You just wouldn't be able to get into any arguments. Ah, there is the difference. Any cause, at the moment it is being caused, is in the future of an action. And when they drift into the past, let us define it this way, they become the reason for. Now get the difference between the reason for and cause. Now the cause we're talking about is always with us, always actionable, can always demonstrate immediately after it an action. And the cause somebody else is talking about is what has gone before because he's so tremulous about what he's doing in present time, that he has to assign responsibility to something else. And so he assigns it to what has gone into the past. He can't take the responsibility for taking a drink at the moment he's taking the drink. He says, I'm taking a drink because I said so. Well, I in the past is another person. And this becomes so marked on a lot of cases that they can't see themselves in the past. They're other people in the past. You try to get them to get a facsimile. They can never fit themselves into the fellow in that was them. Their facsimile is way out of valence and in beautifully fouled up condition. Why? Because they can't be responsible for having been cause, so they assign cause to something called the past. And then they say, this is the reason for it. A fellow taking the drink merely says, I am cause, drinking. Not, I am taking a drink because I said I would take a drink. Cause is always therefore with you at all times and in the future of any action you care to make. And there you're in good situation. You're very, very good shape. And if you're interested in a culture, something like that, why, your adjudications about the culture will be constructive on the eighth dynamics. It just follows that way. It's only people who are halfway up or just picking themselves off their faces that want to knock everything to pieces. So, cause is not in the past. What is in the past is the reason for, which is a different thing than the cause we're talking about. We're talking about action motivator. And an action motivator can only be in front of the action. Can't be behind the action. A person is motivating action at every instant. If he's in real good shape, he's motivating action. It's instant. And although those instants float away and become the past, he doesn't care. That's how life gets spread out on a time track, by the breakdown of its causative impulse. Now you can adjust that one any way you want to philosophically. It happens to be true. In other words, you wouldn't have any time track if you didn't keep up this trick of the reason why. You just float all over the time track. Very little randomity. All right. Here we have something less puzzling and less upsetting. The fellow who has to admit his blame or fault has, of course, said, I'm cause. But fault for what? He said, I am cause for what happened in the past, but he can't go into the past to pick it up, so he brings the past to him, and he brings the whole causative package here. The reason why he brings up into the present, and there is a person's getting an engram stuck in present time. He doesn't stick in the past, the engram sticks in the present. Here's the whole question of responsibility. Responsibility is the ability to handle force, or the ability to respond according to its own definition. Responsibility is the ability to handle force. A person who cannot handle force cannot take responsibility. You cannot give somebody responsibility of running the city of Philadelphia and never give him a cop. You follow that? Without force, one cannot have responsibility in this universe. If a person cannot use force, he cannot be responsible. If you give a person responsibility, according to the military services, you must always give him authority. What is authority? The right to knock somebody's head in. Well, what is authority when it comes to university? The right to be pompous. A very different thing. But more or less the same thing. A person who is being pompous is merely advertising the fact he doesn't have any force. All right. Where we have then responsibility, where we have a responsible person, he can with ease hold his engram bank off himself. He can handle force. Where he can't hold his engram bank off of himself, he's having a hard time of it. Well, now you get a complexity of situation there where the GE is sort of caved in and the Thetan is trying to uncave him. The GE can no longer handle force. He can't handle his own body facsimiles and so forth. He's having a rough time. And the Thetan tries gently and persuasively and sympathetically to do something about this. Can't do it. He can do it with certainty, positiveness, and the rehabilitation of his own force. 3 years ago, book one talked about the analytical mind and the reactive mind. Very little were known about these two factors. Very little. Now, at that time, the only solution available I could dream up was to knock down the potential of the reactive mind until it was sufficiently calm and tame to be handled by the analytical mind. Well, what a much better solution it is to enforce, strengthen, and mobilize the analytical mind so that it can handle any reactive mind. But both things would have the same end in view, a stable, sane person. But we would have just a person in view if we were simply trying to knock to pieces the reactive mind to make it tame enough so that the analytical mind could handle it. But there's this matter of validation. The more you validate the reactive mind, the tougher it's liable to get. Got to handle it very, 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 very carefully, very slippily, or it just gets tougher and tougher. In other words, the person introverts and starts feeding as a thetan all of his force into the reactive bank. And instead of the analytical mind then getting stronger and stronger, it gets weaker and weaker. So in all too many cases, this solution, particularly in the presence of poor auditing, was an unsatisfactory solution. Therefore, it was necessary to get the other solution. Quite fortunately, very, very fortunately, it was discovered in my work that the analytical mind, all the beingness of a person, was detachable. This package was a package. It was not an item called a man. It came to pieces. At first, I was somewhat like the small child confronted with a clock, which he has just hit with a hammer. There were parts all over the place, and I couldn't get them assembled. And in the early investigations of this, it was most wonderful, just wonderful, how many parts could turn up that seemingly were irrelevant. They just didn't have any place in the problem at all. But gradually, little by little, I found out that they were very clearly detachable and finally settled to my own satisfaction to those pre-clears with whom I was working that the personality, the analytical mind, the beingness, colloquially, the guy, was detachable. And the rest of this stuff was just the clock case. That was a wonderful thing to discover. A lot of pre-clears, even today, get exteriorized, and then they got so much attention left on the body that they think all the personality there is on that body, is in the body. They don't think there's any other personality or any other emotion than the body can show up. One person now, talking about specific techniques, invented a technique whereby he had somebody held on to the body and, as a thetan, turned on a whole bunch of emotions. And all of a sudden, the person would find out that their emotional bank was with them, not with the body. They could be themselves. They could have as much and more personality as a thetan than as a body, because naturally, everything in the body is limited as to space and limited as to mass. So, this was the problem. How to get everyone exteriorized. Now, the various techniques which have come forth since have sought better and better to furnish an answer to this. There are very many complications to this problem. Don't think there aren't. Given you here with 6 steps to better beingness with SOP-8, SOP-8-L, what today I have found auditors capable of using. They aren't capable of using running engrams. They're not. They're not capable of using postulate processing, running of emotion, light emotions, sympathy, because they themselves tug and haul before they're exteriorized in the body versus body war to such a point that their preclear will come up just so far, and then they start bashing him in, whether they know it or not. And this is a very rough deal. It took a terrifically high-toned auditor to run engrams. And the next step up, it took a tremendously high-toned auditor to use SOP 1, 2, 3, 5, 7. I had to be high-toned. Anybody can run 6 steps to better beingness. And therefore, it not only becomes tremendously workable, it's very fast, but it becomes very safe. And that's important. Now let's examine once more this factor of causation. If a person is going to be caused, he has to be able to generate force. The two go together. You will find that the thetan can be quite responsible and act responsibly in all ways, shapes, and forms. And he's got a GE bank that just can't take any responsibility. And so this poor thetan jockeys back and forth, and he can't make out what is going on here. And he has a dreadful time about it, just continuously a dreadful time. The thetan would be, but can't be, cause. And he keeps drifting into the past and into the future and so on. Well, that's because his attention is upon the GE. His attention is solidly upon the GE. If he could just get his attention off of the GE, he would again be able to assume the role of cause and responsibility. Coming along the line of development of techniques, we found out rather consistently and constantly, that people fell away in direct ratio to the amount of responsibility they were willing to assume. Book one was a gorgeous, wide-open sesame to the no-responsible. You didn't have to be responsible for a thing with book one. Mama did it and Papa did it. You didn't do a thing. Now, as you came on with tougher and tougher techniques, we all of a sudden swung clear over to the other side, the Aristotelian pendulum of complete and entire, utter responsibility, called self-determinism, and its processing with the concept of full responsibility, as you will find in AP and A. Now, that's too tough, because the very, very aberrated ones say, well, full responsibility is that if there was a... Oh, I had one of them come in one day and say, well, now there's a ball in the center of the floor, the ball sitting here in the center of the floor, and you reached for it, and I reached for it, and I wanted it, and I was strong and you are, I would simply kill you. And that would mean that I was entirely self-determined. On what dynamic, brother? The same dynamic of the boys that peeled off away from Dianetics and Scientology early in the game. First dynamic. All right, let's take this problem and find that as the arrow swung from complete no responsibility, we were at a level mankind at large could understand with ease, weren't we? He could understand no responsibility. Who's responsible? Well, the cops are responsible, or my car's responsible, or mom or papa. No responsibility for self. Everybody kind of agreed on that one. Well, to fight up from that point became tough. Got over here to this terrific extreme of be self-determined. You've got to be responsible before you're anything. And boy, they left me about that time like they were going down chutes. Oh, that became very rough. It's true. This was too tough to take. You had guys going around saying, you don't need processing. All you have to do is make up your mind to be self-determined. I gave a lecture one time, November the 14th lecture, Wichita. I said, all you had to be was self-determined, and that was really all there was to it. I spent an hour explaining how this was all there was to it, and then spent the succeeding hour in explaining how this was completely impossible, that you couldn't do it. Everybody bought the first lecture, and they forgot the second one. All right, here we have this problem. You got a therapy there up to that level that nobody, not that nobody will buy, but nobody can buy it unless he's practically a Theta Clear. He'd have to look out across the universe in his pristine purity and say, I'm responsible for everything and everything that's going on, and everything is fine, and they're killing and murdering each other, so what? Nothing to me. Because it's everything to me, and I could start and stop it at will. That's all that responsibility would be. Very well. We had to go someplace else. Well, fortunately, I moved into the field of Theta Clearing. That's only possible to a Thetan in a very advanced state. But people can recognize that for some things you are responsible and for some things you aren't. And when you do processing along that level, it's quite workable. But it's much better just to forget about the whole thing, about who's responsible for what, except the auditor. And he'd better know that his pre-clear is responsible as he can generate energy as a Thetan. And that's the test. You can ask this person, put out beams and do this and that, so on. Incidentally, some operating Thetans are very, very interesting when it comes to E-meters. E-meter is fair game for a Thetan. One of its tubes, I don't know, what tube is it? Which tube is it in there? Okay. It's that little tube, Thetan gets in there and goes flick, flick, and the E-meter starts bopping around. Very interesting. And if you put the two cans together, very close together, by the way, and put a good solid beam between them, if you happen to be up toward operating Thetan, you'll get on the dial. And this is very provoking. Do you know it means there might be ghosts? When we have a person responsible or capable of taking responsibility, really, we have a person who is capable of generating force. And when we have a person who is capable of generating force, we have a person who is capable of being cause, real big cause. And these things more or less go together. Well, does that say that your Thetan ought to be putting out force? No. But mainly what I'm talking to you about in this extra lecture is just this. The way out of it is through. We said that with engrams. We can say that today with dynamics. That gives you some small idea how this subject has expanded. We could say it one day with engrams, and we say it now with dynamics. The way out of this universe is through it. The way to take the first dynamic apart and handle the first dynamic utterly is to be the first dynamic completely and utterly, and then all of a sudden you no longer have to be the first dynamic. And it's that way with each dynamic in turn. And if you were to draw a map of the way to go all the way up to operating Thetan, it would be this way. And the pre-clear would start in where he is normally found, at the lower end here of numeral one. That piece of chalk dust there is about it. And he goes up through one. He's got to become everything there is to be about one, as far as a body is concerned, Homo sapiens is concerned. He goes through one. And when he gets through one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yes, sir, about that time he could sure set up shop as God. He could actually set up shop as a God to something or someplace. You hear about it in Fraser's beautiful book, The Golden Bough, The King of the Wood. Fraser, he doesn't know why he's writing this, Fraser does. He doesn't know the terrific compulsion that's driving him on through this book. And he's just going on. I think he goes on for some 28 volumes, doesn't he, really? Only you would never see anything but one volume of it, which is the popularized edition, not even a condensation. And he's talking about the king of the wood and the god of the place, or the king of the place. And he just goes on and on about this. He's trying to get back to the time when a thetan will actually inhabit a wood and be proprietor of a wood. You can run that in preclears if you want to. We're talking about parascientology now, but you can run that in preclears. Fascinating. We don't care in Scientology about evolution. Or we don't care about why. Well, I'll just give you some reason why, if you want one, you have to go through all these dynamics. And what I mean when I say eighth dynamic, so that you won't get puzzled. You have to get up at least a place where you could be the king of the wood. At least up there. Gee. That's just no place. Conquer this one. Not conquer self by denying it. That's the way the mystic did it. He said the way to live was to run away. And the faster you run away, vectors being in reverse, the quicker you collide in this universe. It's booby-trapped. The faster you run away, the quicker you collide. So the thing to do is just sort of roll up your sleeves and decide to live, because the only way to get rid of living is by living. You can't say, I'm afraid to live, I'm afraid to insult somebody, I'm afraid to do this, I don't dare do that. It would be aberrative if I were to go out here and do this. You can't keep saying those things to yourself. That's running away. So you found out that very many things were aberrative. Tremendous numbers of things. If you're afraid of those things, you keep shying away from them, monitoring your conduct, simply and solely because something might be aberrative, good heavens on earth. You're running away from one so doggone hard that you'll never get through the woods. You see, you only have to be afraid of something as long as you haven't anything with which to overcome it. Six steps to better beings will actually knock apart all the PDH, all the talking during the dental operation and so forth that anybody ever got mixed up with. We have entered in so deep with technology now, we don't have to be afraid of those things. We've left the control boys far behind. I could take a prisoner today that had been beat up by the OGPU, the NKVD, the Russian military mercy service, almost anybody across the boards, and snap him out of it entirely, probably in a matter of an hour or two. I don't care what shape he's in. Take a little while for the broken bones to heal up and to cure up a few of the diseases they gave him also. But that's that. I mean, this guy's out of the woods. You can do it, too, with Six Steps to Better Beings, or SOPA. Six Steps to Better Beingness, let me interject there, is run on any case. But you should favor that on a tough case. It's the answer to any case, but the answer to the tough case particularly. SOP8 is the answer to any case, but the first three steps of that, if unsuccessful, just fly into Six Steps of Better Beingness. Your mind is fairly comfortable about the whole thing, unless you think he's psychotic, at which time you simply go to 7. You don't have to make any choice about these things particularly. But you understand it's better to theta clear somebody who just can be theta cleared immediately, pam, 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 than it is to fool around with Six Steps to Better Beingness. But you go through the first three steps, and he can't do any of these three steps, and he's still adrift. You just say, give him 10 minutes of nothing. Duplication, spaciation, contact, self-analysis, opposite poles. 10 minutes of nothing. Pong, pong, pong. All of a sudden he says, what am I doing up here in the corner of this room looking at you? Maybe it takes you 200 hours of Six Steps to Better Beingness. She'll get there. I don't say it'll take you that long. I'm thinking of the guy that's practically dead. It's fairly fast as a technique on nearly all the cases you run into. But there are rough, rough, rough cases. Cases with their anchor points all the way pulled in, terrified of ridicule. They're not going to let go of a single phrase they think will get them in trouble. All right. What does all this add up to then? It adds up to the fact we sit here with techniques which resolve cases sufficiently so that you don't have to be afraid of what you do to living things.
That's quite interesting. You could pull them out so fast that you don't have to worry about pushing them in. I'm not advocating now the use of force or anything else, but you'd be surprised how cocky you will feel after you've worked this little while, both on yourself and on somebody else and a few other people, and you fished a few people out of the rag bag with these various techniques. You'll all of a sudden become extremely relaxed about what you do in life. That's the way it ought to be. So, in the matter of techniques in general, SOP8L, you got somebody who wants to understand about life and he can't understand about life, well, don't just run, "I've got to make them understand" as a concept and so forth. Well, that's too easy to do. It doesn't do too much for a case either. Let him understand about life. Run SOP8L. In other words, run acceptance-level processing in the place of step four and get him down there into explosions and some admiration on step five. He'll learn all about life. You betcha he will. All of a sudden, he can feel relaxed about what he did to mom and papa and even admit at last that he did do something to them. Well, now, SOP 8 all by itself, just as written up in 16G, will produce results with that slight change of wasting in brackets. The step four in brackets, those words are missing in the text of it. You can do a great deal with these techniques. You'll find the only people who are fooling and monkeying around with these techniques now and trying to understand desperately are people who need audit, but bad. But bad. Ooh. You get some guy who's on a figure basis, and boy, he'll have to understand before he is. He has to think about it before he can be. And so he never gets his chance to be. He always thinks about it. These techniques break that cycle, fortunately. There's too many good men who are stuck in have to know before you go. They have to see in their minds before they can look. And the more they see in their minds, the less they look. And there they go. It's a force universe, but you are a force admiration being. This universe can't admire anybody, but with admiration, you could admire it all away. If everybody just sat around and said, "What a beautiful universe," and really admired it with lots of ergs of admiration particles, it would actually start falling apart. Now let me give you there what technique, a technique, a little tiny lonesome technique all by itself, for the guy who won't accept responsibility for his own case or for anybody else's. As long as he's not psycho, you bail him out of that neurosis or psychosis a bit. Just get him up there with step six and seven, and then you do this to him. It is a horrible thing to do in him. He's a man. He is in a body. He is stuck in a body. He can't get out. And he won't accept responsibility for anything. You know where this guy is? Now, none of those are present, so I don't have to be accused of evaluating for a pre-clear. Nobody like that is present in the audience. He's a man, and all you have to do is solve his tremendous concern about being a man. We're not trying to gunshot this bank. So, you just get him. This technique, by the way, is a border technique. This technique is not dead center. It's not one of those sharp, surefire, you can run it forever techniques. This one has to be handled with kid gloves, and I'm giving it to you as a small bomb, however, which you can carry around in your pocket. It takes a lot of hours of running for this technique, but it will break through a case that is just, oh my God. You get him mocking up vast numbers of women and men and parents below him looking up at him, admiring his having become or stolen a baby.
End of technique. Now all you're doing is solving as being a man. But some guys have been badly enough treated by their parents and have treated their parents badly enough and have been so thoroughly unwelcome in life and have been told to get out and go away so many times that they are in thorough restimulation on the assumption as the most significant part of that blackness which surrounds them. You see how that is? It's blackness. And it just happens, it's just one of these techniques, you don't have to believe this. You don't have to believe in assumptions or thetans or you don't have to believe in anything. I'd rather you didn't. Because believing means that you're convinced. And the most convincing thing I know is a bullet between the eyes, and I don't want any of you shot. Not even you. So, here we have conviction. And we don't want conviction. All we want is a little technique which I empirically discovered was tremendously workable when you started running it on a five. But believe me, this thing teeter-totters on the edge of madness itself. So let's not run it and 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 forget all the other techniques we know. For heaven's sakes, let's vary it with six steps to better beingness. Let's get that fellow introverting, extroverting, and so forth, too. Let's not just go away and forget this one. That's just a technique. This is a wonderful introvert technique. You're just getting to admire. Here he sits, the solid lump of black. And you just get people here. You're just getting mocking up people. Thousands and thousands of mothers and fathers and thousands of facsimiles of his body looking up. Now, does he have to put the particle admiration in looking up? No, he doesn't. All he has to do is mock up those people down there looking, because that, in essence, is admiration. Any kind of attention is better than no attention. He may get them sneering at first. He may get them hating him at first. He may get them ridiculing, but that doesn't matter. We don't care about their emotion. Eventually, it'll start to come through, but they're admiring him. Now, what are they admiring him for? You get the feeling coming from these people that they're admiring him for having stolen a baby. I'm sorry I'd love to go on and on explain this technique by the hour. It happens that there's a technique called ABC that you will run into. A, level A, level B, level C. And if your free clear is on this center plane here, he can mock up people looking up from this lower plane. He can mock this up on the wall, by the way, this chart, and get therapeutic results from it. These people looking up at this level bring about the condition known as admiration. That particle, your pre-clear, will all of a sudden, this is empirical data, just sees black things and black pieces of this blackness. They get hard and soft and flow away, and all of a sudden one piece of it is liable, if you're just starting this out in a case, my God, a piece of it will fly up to the corner of the room and go like that, and you feel like terrible winds are blowing through him, and it's very interesting. You'll also feel like he's going mad. Going mad. Well, tell him to hold on to the two upper corners of the room and he'll feel less like going mad. You can get a free clear in trouble with this. It's very much of a professional technique, but you could do this to anything. Anything. Now, if you have a bunch of people up here looking down at the free clear on level B, you get him feeling a blessing. So looking up is adoration, admiration, and so forth. That's why they put altars and so forth in churches very glitteringly way up high and that sort of thing. All right. Why I sell an electronic platform or something, too. Okay. We have this ABC, these three levels. And from here down, we get a blessing, and from here up, we get admiration. You're only interested in from C to B. Now, how do you change the characteristic of a pre-clear's mock-ups? You admire their imperfections. The pre-clear says to you, I can get mock-ups, but they don't have any heads. You say, get a lot of people underneath the mock-up admiring the fact that the mock-up has no head. A head will appear. That is, there are several ways to change mock-ups, but none of them are certain like that one. Why? The force of the bank starts to dissolve under the impact of admiration. Now, if you're going to start running explosions, which are essentially force, you have to interlard your processing with running admiration. In other words, you can't really just set out and run 500 hours worth of explosions without somewhere on the line running this ABC admiration. This is awfully simple processing. So the guy has an engram. And he's got this engram, and it's spread out in front of his face, and he can see it, and he's always looking at it, and so forth. Well, there's lots of ways to get rid of it, but one of the fastest ways I know to get rid of it today is not run it. It simply mark up a lot of people below it, admiring him for having it. And maybe take 5-10 minutes for it to go away. But the center, aberration, as a man, just for some reason or other, a man or a woman, their admiration of having stolen a baby or taken a baby is tremendously effective, particularly where their parents have not felt they should have gratitude, that sort of thing. But it is the center of one of these black cases. Once in a while, a black case will suddenly, you start running a little admiration on the case, and the first thing you know, why, it's flying all over the place, and he's flying through space and doing things like that. Well, I'm very sorry about that, because it offends people to think they've lived before. They know what dogs they've been in this life, and they sure don't want to have been a dog in two lives consecutively. But we don't worry about that. The pictures that show up, you should not consider delusive. We have made a grand tour ever since I found that the package would come to pieces. We have made really a rather grand tour of psychotherapy, an interesting tour. Even today, there are people who pick up a little paragraph or something of my stuff and rewrite it so that people can understand it. But they haven't arrived at the end of this tour yet, because when they realize that they're at the end of the tour, they're at the end of the tour, that's all. I mean, you get to the end of the railroad track, you get off the train. You don't keep sitting there in the train, as most people don't. Let me give you a rapid rundown here, a very rapid rundown. This doesn't include all that's taken place, but that's just a rapid rundown, and you needn't even take a note on it. It's not particularly. What I've done here for the last few years, where we got on this train, and why we're getting off of it, as far as research, investigation is concerned, and understanding of existence, why there isn't much point in an investigator staying on the train. There's all that beautiful action, all those beautiful groups that can be processed, all those wonderful pre-clears. There's just that big, beautiful meshed universe out there, and there's no sense in sitting in that ivory's cold, you know. And besides people have a habit of snarling and quarreling with you when you're investigating. They think you don't know what you're doing. So anyhow, in the past few years, the first thing that came to view as a discovery and was explored, all these are just consecutive discoveries and explorations, was the establishment of the mechanism of stimulus response in workable terms. In other words, I studied in the field of hypnotism stimulus response in workable terms, seeing how you could create stimulus response situations and seeing that compared to life, and that was a new front foot forward in the field of investigation of the mind. Immediately after that, I discovered and took apart, by observing hypnotism and so forth, the aberrative character of language, and found out how synonyms worked and homonyms, and how these things became identified, and we had a therapy there.
a lot of that is book one. Immediately after that, I started to run in very heavily into the character and composition of image pictures. A lot of that is in book one. That's all pretty new stuff. You'll find the psychologist said that idiots and morons and small children occasionally saw pictures, and then he dropped the whole package like a hot potato because his pictures were sure kicking his teeth in. He wasn't tough enough to go on the line beyond that point as a being. All right, he said. Now, after that, got this thing called the time track. Very interesting mechanism. Developed the dynamics and the basic principle of existence of survival. Actually, that was located much earlier, but came back into this work about that point with tremendous importance. Then, the next thing we had, of course, was this encroachment, continuous encroachment of the idea of self-determinism and responsibility. And with that came the first workable organization, psychotherapy. All those doggone axioms, about, 198 or 209 of them or something like that, they're all stretched out. And that was when psychoanalysis itself actually started to wake up. A lot of people started writing me when they saw those axioms, and that's what they uniformly called it. So that's the first time anybody ever organized this stuff so we could look at it. We knew it all the time. Yeah, we all did. And then suddenly, pre-clear started falling apart in my hands, and we were in the horrible period known as the early days of Theta Clinic. People kept falling apart. They would not be in the chair. They would be over sitting on the other side of the room. And this was happening because I was investigating responsibility, and I would bring up a person's responsibility level. And their responsibility level would keep coming up, and next thing you know, they would be sitting out on the other side of the room. And the first time I did this, I said, this must be an accident, or this fellow's crazy. And I knew I was never in my body, but I didn't know that other people knew that. But anyway, that was the technique, interesting to remember it, that was the technique which triggered Theta Clearing. It was dichotomies on responsibility running brackets. And anybody who discovered the character of responsibility and brackets and how to run concepts that way would have discovered Theta Clearing the same way, because he couldn't run very many people without people exteriorizing on him. The first person I did this to, a long time ago, 2 years ago now, was a lady. It was very bad shape, really. And I ran her for a little while and so forth. And I says, now move back on the couch, because she was getting off the couch that way and so forth. And she says, it won't move. What won't move? Well, the body won't move. Well, I said, shove it back. Won't shove. So I began to communicate with her to find out exactly how and where she was. And she had been sitting up on the roof, unbeknownst to me, for the last hour, running these dichotomies. She had started to run them and had simply exteriorized. So I got some other people, and the same thing kept happening. And we were off in the Theta Clearing. But simultaneously, a tremendous research on the evolutionary track took place, and the doggondest amount of stuff had been showing up, so on, about what was on the evolutionary track, and I went ahead and investigated. There were people who thought I shouldn't. They thought this knowledge would be dangerous or something. But I went ahead and cataloged it, and boy, that old Matheson E-meter stood right in there and pitched. There's the darndest things can be found in any pre-clear as he comes along. But you don't have to worry about that. That's all parascientology. That's over the dam. Somebody someday might want to know something about the subject of anthropology or something of the sort. And if he wants to know the subject, he'd certainly better pick up that history of man and go to work with an E-meter. I advise that very strongly, because it confirms Darwin and Spots and condemns somebody else. And oh, it's wonderful. But just fun. But you should know something about it. Every once in a while, one of those things shows up. The guy is going down a big highway, which is floating in the sky, riding a monocycle. You say he must be crazy. No, he's probably a lot sinner than you are. He just got a facsimile and found himself on this facsimile, and here he goes. That's why people write science fiction. They get this stuff into re-stimulation. They're worse off than the rest of you, by the way. I know the days when I was writing science fiction, I never could understand why I always finished up with headaches. In processing, one day I took off the space helmet. Haven't had one since. Now, finding the composite nature of man, it was very, very necessary to go out and discover a lot about how it got that way, which was more evolutionary stuff, and so on. And tracing it back, I found a lot of data about thetans and about beingness, so forth, that might not have been available elsewhere. That's also in, to a large degree, in the history of man. And found out what is the characteristics of the thetan from the bank. And then found out that I was looking at what everybody laughingly calls data. That's data I was looking at, and I ought to just start looking. So I just started looking, and the devil with the data. And by golly, from there on, we started picking up speed. Because the whole study of the thetan, all you had to do was observe what thetans did and get thetans to observe what they were doing and do what you did and work with it that way and how they got stuck and came out. And you didn't have to know why. You just found out that was what they were doing and you did something else. So man started coming to pieces. And the second he started coming to pieces, for the first time, we could get rid of chronic somatics with ease. So we buttoned up the subject of chronic somatics just in passing. The second you can exteriorize somebody, you can get rid of the chronic somatics. That's easy. You just tell him, patch it up. How? You don't care how he patches it up. He can. Exteriorize, reach into the body, patch himself up. Bye-bye chronic somatics. Fantastic. Great speed. I don't know what Christ was doing a couple of thousand years ago, but was probably reaching over and knocking out a few ridges or something. It must have been. He must have been able to do it with great speed. Although my boy's been doing that. And he finds out the pre-clears don't stay stable. They get well for a short time after he's knocked some guy's ridges out and so on. They don't remain that way. He's young and foolish. He'll fool around with somebody else's ridges. I'm an old dog. I won't do that. Now, the behavior of thought-generated energy then had to be cataloged, and some hazards as to how the universe came together in the first place were there, but that doesn't matter to us. And we had run into and run through by that time, astonishing to me, but these missing definitions, definitions for zero, statics, mathematics, space, time, and all these as defined in usable form. So a man knew what he was looking at and knew what he was doing with it. It was just redefinition of things that everybody knew existed. And when we did that, all of a sudden, we ran into these processes about space, about the three universes, about certainty. What certainty was. High on the scale is the ability to have any space you want or no space at all and be perfectly free just the same. Low on the scale, certainty is a good kick in the shins or a sock in the jaw or something. It's an impact is what certainty is. Low scale. Somebody says, I'm absolutely certain of something or other with a scary look in his eye. It's been beaten into him. Now, with the arrival of techniques to remedy these above errors, with SOP 8 now, six steps better being this, these techniques, you can do these things. The number of hours that it takes to process a case at this time is quite variable. It always has been variable, but it isn't as bad as it used to be. Nowhere near. It doesn't go up into the same order of magnitude. But auditors are liable to get nervous when they start processing a rough case, and they want to hit that line harder. They don't realize that they're up against a problem of quantity of energy or quantity of absence of energy. They don't realize they're up against a problem which is simply one of how long does it take to fill a tank car with a pitcher? Well, if you went down and started filling a tank car with a pitcher halfway through or quarter of the way through or the second time you climbed the ladder up, that big ladder up the top of the tank car and climbed all along the top of the tank car and bent over the manhole on the top of the tank car and pulled that small pitcher of water in and then climbed all the way back down along the level of the tank car and all the way down the ladder and went down the road a quarter of a mile to the well where you get in the water and went down in the well and got the pitcher and got up again and climbed the water and went up the tank car and the manhole empty. By the time you'd been doing this, two or three times, you'd say, there must be some easier method. Let's run concepts. Let's gunshot the bank. Let's do this. Let's do that. Gosh, we got to get in there. It's got to be faster. And what do they do with this? They waste all their processing time. That's the hideous part of it. They're just wasting processing time. Wasting time. It's faster to go and fill the tank car with a pitcher, because that's what they're doing anyhow. They can think about it forever. But that's an auditor who only wants to think and who won't act. You might as well just start in with, you say, well, all right, this case is real bad off. We're going to run that thing Ron was talking about. We're going to run, he can't see. He's terrible black, and we're just going to run up all these mock-ups, people looking up and admiring for taking a baby. Then to vary it, we'll have somebody else admire for taking a baby. We don't have to do that, by the way, with that technique. Boy, he's sure lonely in being the only one who ever took a baby. Anyway, we just have that run, and we just run it for a while, and then we decide, well, that's getting kind of boring, and he's getting kind of loused up. We'll run through the six steps to better beings. Do that. Then you say, well, he said there was another technique that was a big technique and was very informative, and that the cycle of action of the messed universe was the cycle of action explosion. They will run explosions on him in brackets. So we run explosions for a little while. Then we can run six steps to better beingness. Then we come back and we run admiration processing, having stolen a baby. Then we run six steps to better beings. Then we run some explosions. And that's actually what I myself would do today to a rough case. That's everything I would do to him. I fooled around the other day with a pretty clear who looked like he was half exteriorized, in pretty good shape, not real good shape. And I thought I'd fool around and see if I could do anything for him one last time by running concepts. So I ran concepts on him for about 2 hours. Then I ran explosions, and his perceptions picked up, and he was on his way. I've run so many cases that I figured out I might as well do it one more time and find out if there was any use when you came out of the well pouring the pitcher down in the ditch. There's no use throwing the pitcher in the ditch. The number of hours it takes to process such a case varies directly with the amount of mass of residue to be left on the case. Thank you very much.